it's one thing for us to sing about the power of God. Does anybody else like to sing about the power of God? Man, I love it. But, you know, oftentimes I think we like to sing about it, but we oftentimes don't give space for the power of God. You know, you can sing it and it's on a stream, but like stepping out in faith and actually asking for the power of God to move is sometimes a little scary. But, you know, we talk about, you know, we want to be a full contact church. Meaning that we don't want to sing about the things. Like, if we're singing about it, we better believe it. Anybody else agree with that? Like, we don't want to sing things that we don't believe. And so today may be a step, but this morning, I just want us to give a little space. You know, some of these things we don't plan. We didn't plan to have this little time here, but I woke up this morning. My wife had a bad neck pain, and then we were in our prayer time this morning with some staff, and several of them said, man, you know, necks. I don't know. Like, I feel like the Lord wants to move power. So once again, we don't just sing about it. Like, we want to give space for the power of God, right? We don't just sing. We actually say we are people that believe this. And so this morning, before we open up the Word of God, we just want to give some space for the power of God. And so if you have a neck pain whatsoever, if you got some neck issues, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and just raise up your hand. You're not going to come forward. You're just going to raise your hand up. So we got people all over the room here. And so keep your hand up, but we're just going to pray for you in a second. So if you don't mind, if you're around them, would you just get their name real quick? We're just going to be the church. We're a house of prayer. We're not a house of Derek. Somebody say amen to that. We're not a house of Christ Fellowship. We're a house of prayer for all people. And so if you've got your hand up, if you don't mind, if you're all right with somebody coming up and talk to you, keep your hand up. If not, go put your hand down. We don't want to put you in an awkward spot. But if you're all right with somebody coming up and actually praying for you, so we got somebody up here. So if somebody could over there, just ask a name all around the room. Just get a name of the individual and ask them specifically what's going on. We got people in the back all over. Billy, I see you back there praying. Just ask them what their name is and ask them what their issue is. And then if they're all right with it, just put a hand on the shoulder. This is very biblical. It's laying on of hands. It's what we see in the scriptures to do. There we go. We got this person. Anybody else don't need prayer? We got this down here. People in the back. Somebody up there praying. Cheryl's praying up there. Beautiful. So I just want you to pray a blessing over their neck and just give space for the Lord to heal. And if you're not praying right now, just thank Jesus that he is the God of power. Stirring up the room, faith. Our faith leads us somewhere. It's not meant to stay on a screen, on a worship song, but it's meant to be activated, stepping out in faith and trusting God. Lord, I bless the faith in the room for those that have their hand raised, and I thank you just for the humility and just the mustard size seed of faith it takes. You say it only takes a mustard size seed of faith to bring healing, to move mountains. So God, we really do believe. We don't just sing about that. We believe that you're a God of power. You're a God that heals. You're a God that sets free. And so we quiet the lies of the enemy in this room. We rebuke the spirit of infirmity. By your Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was upon Jesus to heal, we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to heal these necks in this room. Complete healing. Just release your peace upon them, Lord. And why don't you just move in, if you're praying with somebody, just move into a time of thanks, thanking the Lord that he is a healer, that he wasn't just a healer, he is the healer. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to just sing about you, but we can actually encounter you. We can experience you. And we bless you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And as we open up your word, Lord, I pray that it would move in power today, that I pray that it would move us closer to your heart, align us with your heart today. So, Lord, we take a posture of humility today. We lay our desires, our lives down, and we say, Lord, we lay it down so that you can lift us up. So, Lord, we bless what you're doing in this room, Holy Spirit. We bless it. Thank you for your power, for your mercy, for your grace, for your presence that changes everything. Give our lives to you today, Jesus. If you have some need this morning, why don't you just take a second and offer that up to the Lord and ask him to meet you where you're at today. You and God, nobody else needs to know, just you and the Lord. Set our community free as we don't just hear the truth, but we receive it and apply it, and in doing so, find life. In Jesus' powerful name, we all said, amen. Amen. If you're taking a seat, tell the person on your right, God is good. Tell the person on your left that he still heals. He still heals. That's kind of hard to say, but he continues to heal. How about that? He continues to heal. Man, it is good to be with you today. If you are a guest, maybe you found out here today that we love the presence of God. And we don't gather here around a person or around a band or because we want to, you know, make a name for Christ Fellowship. We gather because we love the presence of God and we want to learn to walk in his ways. In every way, right? And so if you are a guest here, welcome. It is good to be with you this morning. Today, I want to continue unpacking what we see Jesus say in John 10:10. He said, I came that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about abundance. And really, the theme throughout the series is this thought, that abundant life, it flows as we align with God and his perspective. So if I want to experience life in any area of our existence, then I've got to recognize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the what? The life, right? You know that. So in any situation, in any part of my life, I want to find out, man, what does Jesus think about this area of my life? What has he said about this area of my life? And if I really want to find life, then what I'll do is I'll lay down what I desire. I'll lay down kind of my bents and my hopes, and I will say, you know what? I'm going to lay this down because I believe you have greater things. I'm going to lay down my desire in this situation. I'm going to lay down how I was raised, my situation, my past. I'm going to lay that down that I could receive from the way, the truth, and the life who says he came to give us life and that it would be more abundant. And so last week we talked about marriage, and I'm gonna tell you, I was so encouraged of how I talked to different couples. And specifically, man, I talked to some young couples this week, and it's amazing how God works. They're like, man, we were just like talking about some of the things that you preached. They were like, I could have got up there and preached. I'm like, man, next time you should do that. But it was like the Lord was speaking to them. How many of you know God still speaks, right? It was like the Lord was priming them for that, and it actually took them even deeper. And beautiful, and if you're married or you're thinking about getting married, I would encourage you to go back and listen to last Sunday. I think it's really important that we see that God's ways lead to life in every area, including marriage. And remember, you know, the way we approach Sunday morning is we don't believe that a sermon should end in a period. It's not like everything God wants to say is done in about 30, 40 minutes, right? We actually believe that a sermon should end in a comma. And that conversation that we're having this morning, our hope is that it would lead to further conversations between you and God and you and the people in your life. And so that's why I was so encouraged, man, just to hear people digest. And I got texts from a lot of guys saying, thanks for encouraging us to have sex. And a lot of women saying thank you for, you know, whatever they were excited about. But it's super encouraging, man. That's our heart and our hope today that what we talk about today, it's not like a dramatic period at the end of this message today, but it's an invitation to go deeper with the Lord, you and him. And one thing I know about marriage is in counseling and being married for 17 years is that one of the biggest issues that we face, and honestly, not just in marriage, but in life, especially in our Western culture, is money. How many of you ever, just be honest in the room, we can stir up some money. Have you ever had a fight over money in your marriage? Just can we just be honest here? Yeah, look around, everybody. Like, I think every 100% of people that are married, if you've been married more than like the couple I did their wedding last night, it was beautiful. They probably haven't had an argument over money yet. They probably did actually about the wedding, you know, how that is. But like, if you've been married very long, you've probably had some money issues. Or if you're just the person and you're trying to figure out what it looks like to live in a first world country, you're probably like, man, what does it look like for me to be a person who has money, wants money, needs money to walk on this earth? And so just like we say, man, we want to know, Jesus, we believe that your ways lead to life. And we get excited about that with marriage. Yes, your ways lead to life. Salvation, your ways lead to life. Healing, God, your ways lead to life. Money, not so much. But I love the Word of God. Anybody else love the Word of God? Oh my goodness, I love the Word of God. And so today, we're just gonna go for it. And let me just allow you to take a deep breath. We're not gonna pass an offering after this message. Like, it's not how we roll here. I'm not even gonna tell you to give, okay? But today, my hope is that we could get God's perspective on something that we all do with every day, which is money. And something that causes us oftentimes a lot of heartache and a lot of struggle, and yet is a necessary part of our lives. And so today, if you're new, we don't talk about money every week. We don't talk about sex every week. It sounds like weird. If you've been here 2 weeks in a row, like, come like five times in a row, and maybe you'll hear something different. But don't you love it? You invite somebody, it's money talk, you know, it's so good. But here's the thing, I do believe that truth sets us free. Amen? And today, I believe some of us in the room can get free if we can adopt God's way of viewing money, all right? So we're gonna go after this. So I want you to open up your Bibles. We're gonna be in Matthew chapter 6. I figured we should start with the words of Jesus, what he says on this matter. This is the Sermon on the Mount. His, what most people would say was his most, at least what we know, his famous message, tons of truth, lots of incredible insight he gives us, setting up the kingdom of God. As he's talking about to his disciples and lots of others that have found their way to here. And so, these are the words of Jesus, not the words of Derek, which makes today so easy because I'm just gonna point you to the scriptures. So this is Jesus saying this. He says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is," listen to this, "there your heart will be also." If you've got your Bible, I would love for you to underline that last. Where your treasure is, we're gonna talk about this in just a second. Where your treasure is, Jesus says, there your heart will be also. Now look, he continues. He says, "The eye is the lamp of the whole body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Now that's a little bit of a confusing piece in the middle of talking about money, but just so we understand that he wasn't talking about your literal eyes, right? We talked about this actually, Kim, in our little prayer time we had with our staff. What he's talking about here is the perspective, how you see things. He says, if you come into a situation and you're looking for the bad, guess what you're gonna see? The bad. If I come into a situation with a lens of, oh, this is gonna fail, this is gonna be terrible, there's no hope, then I'm likely going to see that fulfilled in the way that I see the situation. But he says, if you have light in the way that you see, if you come in with God's perspective, your whole being's filled with light. And I think it's interesting that he has this right in the middle of talking about money, because today that's what I'm laying out for you. I'm saying, listen, we have bought into some lies as Americans, as human beings. And today what I'm laying before you is an opportunity to allow the way you perceive and your perspective to see money, that we could see it God's ways and that it would lead us to life, okay? So he goes on, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. That's so famous. Like that line, you cannot serve God and money. And today I wanna break down this truth a little bit. And I wanna do that in, I think, a real practical way. So my background is an engineer. And so today, if you were around, we had Marty Solomon here this weekend. He talked about Eastern and Western perspective. And Westerners, we like bullet points today. If you're a Westerner, we got some bullet points, all right? Real practical message today. So number one lie that needs to die. All of us in this room, the first lie that needs to die is money is evil. That's where you say amen. That needs to die. How many of you agree that needs to die, right? Now here's the struggle in the church. For whatever weird, twisted reason, especially in the Western church, we have oftentimes preached messages and preached in ways and taught in ways that somebody would walk away from a message and say, man, if I have money, I must be bad. Because we correlate money as evil, and that's a lie that needs to die today. Money is not evil. Let me just clarify in the room. Money is amoral, not immoral. That means it's not either or, although how many of you know it can be used either or, right? He says in this text, man, you can lay up for yourself treasures on this earth, or you can lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust won't destroy. So he's saying money, our finances, our resources can be leveraged in one way or another, but at its core, money is not evil. And it's so interesting that we would sometimes think about this, and it's the way of Satan, man. He wants the guilt and shame. But let me remind you, there were some really wealthy people in the scriptures, really wealthy people. And if you look at the Old Testament, like Abram, who became Abraham, Solomon, like we're talking like crazy wealthy people. And you know who is attributed to their wealth? God. And he didn't tempt us with evil. And even the New Testament, man, there are men and women, both, in the New Testament who had significant means. And so we see at the front end of the scriptures that money is not evil, but at the same time we see in the scriptures men and women of very little means, very, very meager, humble states, that God can use in incredible, powerful ways, all right? So I wanna just make sure we understand, money is not evil at its core. Money is not evil, it's amoral. God has given us the ability to utilize it and leverage it in different ways. And so I see two verses that really helped us out to understand this. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money. Everybody say love of money. Love of money. This is what we're gonna go after first. So he says, keep yourself from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said this. Keep yourself free from the love of money. And then 1 Timothy, if you have your Bible, you can flip over to the back of your Bible there. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to sit in here for just a moment because, man, incredible, incredible truth here. And this truth is set us free if we would align our lives with this. So Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, but godliness with contentment is of great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of the world. Isn't that incredible truth? Like whether you die a bajillionaire, billionaire, or you die with nothing to your name, you carry the same into eternity. It's humbling to think about. Sometimes we just need a sober moment to be like, oh, that's right. Like from dust we came and dust we return, right? Now look what he continues to go on. He says, but if you have food and clothing, with these we, he's not just saying you, he's saying we will be content. But those that desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Whew. Making you your pursuit financial, trying to become rich. He says, be careful because this type of ambition can ruin you and lead you to destruction. For look at verse 10. We see the same. For the what? love of money. We see the same thing from Hebrews. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. And so here's real practically, I want you to see this. The love of money, not money, leads to all kinds of evil. We have to delineate the two because we'll have a very weird relationship with money if we see it as evil, don't touch it. But what Paul says is that money is not evil, but the love of money, how we relate to money, if we relate wrongly, it leads to all kinds of evil. And what he says here is it does what Jesus said the enemy does, steal, kill, and destroy. What he says is if you pursue money, if you make it your God, if you say this is what I'm after in life, it will lead you to destruction. It'll steal your hope, and it will kill your life. So we got to delineate that between the two, that it's not money, but it's how we relate to money that leads us to all kinds of evil. Now why would that be? Like asking questions, like why would Jesus spend so much time talking about money? Why would the scriptures over 800 times talk about money? Can you imagine that? 800 times in this book, it talks about money. Why would that be? Two things that as I was studying, I felt like money at its core is transactional. So I have money, I give something, and I get something in return. So there's this transactional component to money. And so what I think, one of the ways that the enemy works is he loves transactional thinking. It's really what religion is based in. If I do this, God will do this. If I don't do this, God won't do this. But if I do this, if I show up to church on time, if I stop talking about this person, if I read my Bible every day, 3 chapters a day, then God will do something. It's transactional. And if we begin to serve something that's at its core transactional, what happens is we become transactional and we lose our relational aspect. And the God we sing about, the God that we're following and learning to follow, he's not transactional, he's relational. And he's saying, guys, listen, the love of money, the love of that which is transactional at its core, man, it's going to lead you to destruction. It's going to lead you to be willing to break relationships in order to gain what you're pursuing, money. And so he says, be careful. But the other thing about money, and I think most of us have been there, and maybe you're there today, is that money has this incredible way of giving us a false identity. See, money when it's at its worst, it offers us a false sense of security. It offers us a false value and influence. And so he says, man, you can't serve God and money. Because when we love money, what happens is we begin to confuse God and money. And what happens is our heart begins to pull away from God and we begin to put our security in our resources, in our finances, in our retirement plans, in our business, which none of those are bad, by the way. None of them are bad unless they are bad. When they take the place that God has invited us to, they are not good for you, no matter how many zeros on your bank account. They're leading you from the heart of the Lord. They're not good. And so he says, listen, you can't serve God in money. Listen, I know money, it makes you feel all puffed up and good when you get a big paycheck. But you and I have been places where, man, it's good in this season, but man, there's seasons where you're like, man, where did the money go? It could be gone like that. Stock market changes, gone like that. Change in family, gone like that. There's this false sense of security. There's this false sense of hope and influence that money stirs up in us. And God's like, guys, listen, don't fall for it. Don't fall in love with money. It'll leave you destroyed. It'll kill you. It'll steal from you. All right, so number one, money is not evil. Number two, God wants my money. Somebody said amen to that, right? God wants my money. That's a lie that needs to die today. Somebody really, once again, I'm giving you guys opportunities. How many of you know God does not want your money? Yeah, now we're getting going here, yeah. Remember back to what we read first. Jesus said, he says, listen, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Real foundational, real truth that we see today is that God wants your heart and not your money. Huge difference. That's why Matthew 22, Jesus says the greatest command is love the Lord your God with all of your what? Heart, all your mind, and all your strength, all your soul. He wants your heart and not your money. But here's what he knows is that our heart oftentimes follows our money. So God is not as interested in your money as he is in your heart. He knows the way that we are and the way that we prioritize money and the way we operate in this culture and the systems of this world, that money can easily get our heart. And so he says, listen, your heart will follow your money. So God doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. But he knows they're tied together. He knows they are together. And honestly, this is oftentimes the confusion that people have when they think about money. And so I just want to take a second, and I want to apologize on behalf of the church, the capital C Universal Church. I recognize this morning that many of you in the room have probably felt and experienced the underbelly, the nasty side of organized religion. And you've seen abuses, you've seen manipulation, you've seen control, and I just want you to take a deep breath and know that's not how God works. But I want to apologize on behalf of pastors and evangelists, especially those guys on TV. I'm sorry for those guys on TV. They give a bad name sometimes, taking a little bit of truth and making it for their personal gain, and I'm sorry. And so here at this church, we don't believe we need to manipulate anybody to give. The scripture said God loves a cheerful giver, not a manipulated giver. So giving is an invitation. It's not a mandate. And as I say that, I know many of you are like, well, you know, I've heard about this tithing thing. And like, what in the world is that? We talk about tithes and offerings. And so I want to give a little aside. I wasn't sure if I was going to talk about this, but I want to just give us some foundational truth, right? So, and has everybody heard about the tithe? Anybody heard of the tithe? Yeah. So real practical. I'm going to give you my take on it. And there's lots of different opinions on this. But the tithe means 1/10. It means 10%. That's like what the word means. Like there's not a like confusion. Like tithe means 10th. And so here at this church, we believe that the tithe is a principle and not a law. All right. We are beyond the law. It's a principle. Now, let me just understand where a principle is. Now, when we see the tithe, we see this all throughout the scriptures. We see it all the way back in Genesis 14 with Abraham. And then if we go forward another 14 chapters, we get to chapter 28. I had to do my math real quick. 28. And we see Jacob. And both of them offer a tithe unto the Lord. Now, what's interesting is in Genesis, the tithe that's offered is before the law was given to Moses. So maybe it wasn't ever meant just to be a law. So it was before the law, we see them give 1/10. And then we see Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, we see in the law, Levitical law, we see them give 1/10 to the house of God, to the temple. And that was used for lots of different things, right? And then Jesus comes along, and we wish that Jesus said the tithe is null and void. Sometimes we're like, oh, that would be great, right? Much easier to preach, right? But Jesus actually doesn't like nullify it. He actually affirms it to the religious leaders. He says, listen, guys, don't neglect your tithing on what you have, but he says, don't miss out on the weightier things, mercy and justice and love. And so Jesus doesn't actually come in around and say, and actually if we want to get into it, Jesus, what he does in the Sermon on the Mount is he takes whatever the law said and he said, you got to go past that. And some of you are like, well, I'll take the law, right? 10%, good. This is Jesus, right? He says, listen, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees said, what's the law? Let's get to it and stop. You know what God, Jesus came on and said? Listen, you need to know the heart. If you understand the heart of the law, then you will surpass their righteousness because you'll be pursuing the Lord, not just to get it right. And so we at this church, I believe that the tithe is a beautiful principle. And I believe there's power in it. And so when I say that, that's 10%. I believe that giving 10% to the Lord is really, really important. But here's the good news. It's not required. It's not a law you have to have. It has nothing to do with your salvation. It's an invitation to say, man, I want to align with God's heart. I want to be with him. And here's what it is. It's an invitation to direct my heart to what God's heart is for. And so we don't believe it's a commandment. We don't believe it's a law that we still have to adhere to. But we believe it's a gift from God to humanity. Have you ever thought of the tithe that way? It's a gift of God to humanity that teaches us how to rightly relate to finances. Third thing that I want you to see here, and this is the final one on what needs to die, is that when I get enough, fill in the blank, then I'll be generous. I hear this all the time. And sometimes it's meant to be, you know, with some wisdom, some insight. But what I found in our culture is that I say, if once I get to this amount of money, once I get this pay raise, once I get this car, this house, then I'll become generous. It's a really good thing to say. It's a really bad excuse, though. Because even if you look at studies, I spent some time this week just looking at studies on finances. And so if you ask somebody that makes $50,000, are you wealthy? Most of them would say, I'm not wealthy. And then you ask them, how much do you have to be to have a lot of money? And they would say, well, if I made $100,000, I'd be wealthy. And then the study goes to those making about $100,000. And they say, are you wealthy? Because those guys said you're wealthy. We're not wealthy. Well, how much do you got to make to be wealthy? Well, they say, well, if we made $250,000, we'd be wealthy. And you guess that this continues on. If we get $250,000, you go to those people and say, hey, you make $250,000. You got lots of people saying you're wealthy. Are you wealthy? You know what? We really don't feel wealthy. Well, then what would be wealthy? If I made $500,000 a year, I'd be wealthy. And you know what? That continues on all the way into the millions. Why? Because we have this tendency to keep the same margin in our life regardless of how much we make. I make $50,000, man, it's like this. I make $150,000, ooh, I live like I make $175,000. And I got no margin. And so I just want to put before you that notion that I got to get somewhere before I can be generous, that notion has to die today. God is inviting us to be generous. Yes, with our money, but also with our lives, with our words. And you may be saying today, Derek, man, I got some crazy debt and I got no extra money. I totally get that. What if you made a decision to cancel cable? What if you made a decision just so you could be generous? Maybe you're in pals and you're like, there's a family behind me. I want to pay for their meal. It's being generous, isn't it? Don't you love, by the way, when that happens? Like, I love it. I love it. I always hope when I let somebody in that, you know, turn it in that they'll pay for my meal. I usually get like extra just so they can really bless me. And then yesterday I actually got there. I was expecting to pay. They were a nice car. And I was like, nope, I had to pay for my own meal. No, just joking. I'm telling you, if you're waiting to get to a point in your finances to begin to be generous, I'm telling you, you're going to continue to put it off and you're going to put it off. So what would it look like today to take one step to say, what would it look like for me to become generous today in one little way? What if it's just $5 that I help somebody in need? I'm not even talking about giving to the church. I'm saying, like, what if you recognize the need in your life, in your sphere of influence, and you said, you know what, today I'm going to $5. I heard about this family that's going through COVID. I'm going to go buy them a meal and I'm going to take it to them. Leave it on their porch. Don't go in. Leave it on the porch and bless them. Like, we got to think differently if we're going to experience the life. And Jesus gave us this incredible truth to lead us into life in our finances. Man, what I know about finances, as I talk to people, as I counsel, as I live life myself, man, our finances can put us into bondage. And Jesus says today, I want you to be free. Stop relating to money. Stop putting your hope in money. Stop giving excuses about money. Today, I want you to be free. It's not evil. The love of money leads us to all kinds of evil, though. God doesn't want my money. He wants my heart. That's why he gives us these principles to say, man, I want to direct my heart to what God is directing. And today, I just want to put before you that he's calling you to be generous with joy. And so I put together four additional things that I think helps us as we think about money. And so why would God invite us to money? Some of these are recap, but some of them are new. So number one reason I think God gives us this invitation to give is that giving directs our hearts. He said, where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So here's the incredible news today. You get to partner with God on how and where your money goes, or where your heart goes. You're not a victim in this. You have a role to play. And you guys know, like, this is like basic principle. When you buy some stocks, like, what do? You start watching that stock like crazy. Like, we got some fantasy football players in the room here. We got any fantasy, a couple of you. So when you draft somebody in fantasy football, even though they're on the team that you hate, guess what you do? You want them to do well. You don't want them to win, but you want them to do well. You hear what I'm saying out there? Why? Because you've invested, even if it's fake money, Monopoly money. If it's real money, you've definitely invested. And guess what? Your heart follows that. So one time somebody gave me this bar of gold, or not gold, that would be awesome, a bar of silver, I almost said bar of soap, a bar of silver, and you know what? I didn't give a flip about silver before I got this bar. Like, I couldn't tell you, like, what's an ounce worth. What's a kilo? I don't even know, a kilogram. Like, that's a big, I don't have that much. What this bar is worth. I wouldn't even have been telling. But you know what I found after I got it? Like, every day I looked at the 30-day trend for silver. Why? My treasure, my heart. Some of you have kids in college, and you're sending lots of money to college, even though they're online only. I don't understand it either. But guess where your heart is? It's probably in that school. You're probably wearing their logos, even though you grew up maybe even hating them. Like, you're like, my money's going there, and my kid is going there, and so I care about that, right? And so I want to put before you today that, man, you actually get a role to play in where your heart goes. And when I was in my mid-20s, I had this revelation around giving and tithing, and we began for the first time in our mid-20s to tithe, to give to our local church. And up until this point, I really didn't care that much about the local church and barely went, and we started going, and so then I had this kind of revelation about giving and how it directs my heart, and we began to give. We had to do some things. Like I said, we had to actually cut off cable. We had to do some things to get some margin because we were living, like many people, up against the edge, and we didn't have it to give. And what happened in that time is that my heart began to turn towards the thing that Jesus died for. Why was that? Because I was investing in my local church. And because of that, my heart was turning. My treasure was there. My heart was there. And I began to love more and more the thing that Jesus came to die for. It's not a minor miss, guys. Where you spend your money, where you direct your money, where you invest, it's going to direct your heart. Number two thing is that we giving, it cultivates a healthy relationship with possessions. I talked about this before, but what I give away, I can't own me. Oh, somebody needs to hear that. What I give away can't own me. And so if I'm like, I got to keep my money, I got to keep my resources, I got to keep all this, what happens is it's really easy for that thing to begin to own me. But what I found is that if I give it away, there's this breaking off of this weird thing that comes on us when I willingly choose to give it away. Well, to whatever, when I give it away, there's this breaking, I think even in the spiritual realm, that it can't own me. And so God is inviting us to have a right relationship with money. Not to say it's terrible, not to lift it up above, but to see it rightly, that it can be used for good or bad. And so God is inviting us to this. Number three, giving is a tangible way to partner with God. Oh, you know, sometimes following Jesus, we don't always see connections. I walk in obedience, but I don't see how these things work together. But what I found is that when I give to a mission-filled person, when I give to an organization in our community, when I give to the local church, there is something happens where I begin to see the connection between what my life is doing and what God is doing on the earth. And so if you're like, man, I want to partner with God, I would say one of the ways you can partner with God is through your checkbook. In a million different ways in our community, you can do this. And the fourth one and final one is that giving positions me to trust God. Oh, what does God love? He loves faith. He loves faith. And when I step out in faith to join in what he's doing, and I open up my billfold or I get online and do whatever I'm doing with whatever, to a family, to an organization, to whoever, when I do that, I am stepping out in faith, trusting God. And so we don't see just giving just as an act of obedience, although it is an act of obedience. What we see it as an act of worship. And so I'm responding to what God has done in my life. I'm responding to who he is. And what I found in my life is that God is really generous. Anybody else believe God is generous? Oh my goodness, he is beyond generous. And he has made me in his image. And for me to find life in my finances, I got to recognize that I want to model my life the way that Jesus modeled his life. I want to be a person that is willing to give it away. And so today I want to encourage you to, like, man, what if we stepped back this week and you looked at your money, you looked at where you're sending it, and you say, man, is this aligned with the way of Jesus? Not condemning, not like feeling bad about it, but what if we actually took it seriously that this is not a minor thing to God? What if we say, man, where am I directing my heart with where my finances are going? What if this week you took a step and you laid it before the Lord and said, God, how can I leverage this for your glory? How can I partner with you? And give him space to speak. I think you'd be surprised at what he would say. I think you would. And so today we're gonna close. We're gonna ask our prayer team up here. And I'm gonna pray a blessing over you, specifically over your finances. And as our prayer team makes their way up here, two things. If you're like, man, my neck, it feels maybe a little better or it doesn't feel better, I want some more prayer. We would love to press into that a little bit more with you. But number two, on the prayer is if you're like, man, I want to get my finances in order. Maybe you've struggled with your finances, paycheck to paycheck, and you're like, man, I want to get some order. Or maybe it's the opposite. You find yourself with an abundance of money, but you feel like, man, I've just not really been directing this the way that God would want me to. And you just want somebody just to pray a blessing over you, that you would have the courage and the obedience to step with God. And so as we close in prayer here, after that, we're going to go out. But if you need prayer, man, come forward and get it. Yeah, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for truth that sets us free. Jesus, thank you for giving us the way of life. Lord, I pray that today the truth that is in your word would go down deep in our hearts, that we would recognize your way and that we would lay down our way to find life and have it abundantly. So I specifically want to just pray over finances in this room, those that are figuring things out, those that are making decisions, those that want to step out of debt or want to make investment decisions or start a business or whatever's going on, Lord, in this room. There's tons of things going on. Lord, I pray that you would show them what it looks like to walk your way, that they could find life. Your ways that lead to life. Thank you, Jesus, for setting the bar for us. May we walk the way that you've set out for us. In your powerful name we pray. Amen. To help you practically do this, one more thing before we leave, I wanted to make sure I touch on this. We've got two classes coming up that are really, really helpful. We've heard incredible feedback. We have a financial hope course. It's not financial peace, so don't get it confused. It's financial hope. And we've got one for young adults. So if you're under, I think 28 is where you are, young adults. If you're like 29, you feel like a young adult, you can come too. But young adults is 3 weeks starting October 17th. And then anybody else who's interested in getting your finances in order. And honestly, the biggest reason why most of us aren't generous is because of debt, just being honest. And if you're like, man, I don't want to be a slave to the lender. I don't want to do that. And I want to figure out a way. I'm telling you, there is hope. No matter how messed up, no matter how old you are, there is hope to be set free. And we've got some incredible principles and incredible teaching in this. And so I would encourage you to go to the website, sign up, and go through this class and find some freedom. Find some freedom. God wants you free. You guys have a great day. Enjoy the sunshine and the beautiful weather. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.